you alone in this world? Do you find yourself struggling with your own deepest, darkest, self-destructive thoughts on a Saturday night? Do you wish for it to end, or at least to find yourself a nice companion? If so, help is just a phone call or text chat away. With Degenerate Escort Services, we'll cater to almost all your needs and make you feel like a bigger loser than you already are. Because for the right price, we care.
Well,
that's... Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
We have a new sponsor.
We have a new sponsor. That is Degenerate Escort Services.
Those guys sound amazing. Is it males or females?
It's you know, I think it differs from time to time.
How did they find us? That's amazing.
I mean, I got a mysterious phone call the other night.
Did you?
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, who the fuck's calling me? I mean, seriously, in this day and age, who is calling me?
Everybody.
I mean, who's not giving me the proper respect that I deserve to actually send me a goddamn email so I don't have to respond right away?
Right.
Right? So, you know, what do? I let it go to voicemail.
Right.
And then they never call me back. So then the next day I go online and there's a nice email.
Okay.
From a certain individual. We will not reveal their names.
No.
We will, and in fact, Degenerate Escort Services may or may not be their names.
Right.
We do not know, but they are sponsoring us.
That's great. So we actually got, this is our first commercial.
This is our first commercial.
Wow.
That's great.
That's amazing. Well, if it's not their real name, they use it in the commercial. So if it's their fake name, how would someone reach them?
Well, see, that's how things work in the underground.
Ah.
You know, you kind of have to jump through some hoops to find out exactly who, like, the business of interest is, because they have to protect themselves.
Right. Well, this actually brings up the big question. Do people still use escort services?
I mean, I imagine so. I mean, I remember there was a time when I thought I could have been, like, an excellent escort.
Yeah, we had the idea of us –
I think we did think that we could be escorts.
Well, we had lots of plans and ideas once upon a time, and they all kind of vanished into thin air.
And now we're just doing this.
Now we're just doing this, but I mean, we are reaching many people now. I mean, we are kind of a hit in the underground world.
Yes, yes.
British Mark is just really not the only one.
You know, he's listening to us from some exotic islands, you know.
You know, well, he's going back tomorrow to his life. So I don't want him to have fun. Like, you know, he's actually a nice guy. Like, he would actually, if I went away someplace nice, he would want me to have fun.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to have fun. I don't like him.
I mean, that's only fair. That's really only fair.
Well, he said today, I know, on text that he listens to our old episodes like more than once.
Who the fuck does that? What a fucking loser.
No, he's not a loser. Maybe he sees something that we don't see in us.
You know, sorry, British Mark, I take that back. You're not a loser.
You're not a loser, but I mean, don't you have anything else to do?
I mean, if we were getting residuals...
Read a fucking book!
No, that's actually a good point. We need to start
a
podcaster's union.
Yeah.
And we need to get, like a contract in place where, like, we get residuals for, like, every single listen.
Oh, right. Well, that's... I mean, if him alone, we would be millionaires. Well, not millionaires.
Yeah.
I mean...
We have at least $10.
And, like, British currency.
Yeah. And even then, I actually have a feeling that there are different ways to monetize your content. We haven't reached that point
yet. No. I feel like our content is pure, and I don't want it to be, I don't want it to be, tainted.
Right.
By commercialism.
That's the thing, because, like, I feel like, as much as I think it'd be cool to make money.
Right.
The problem is at that point that it's like, all right, I'm making money. Now we may find feel a tendency to maybe sanitize ourselves a little bit. I don't want to think about other people.
Kevin Bacon has a podcast now. Everybody has a podcast, right? And I hear snippets of all these podcasts. And then, you know, some of them are better than others. There's one with Jason Bateman. And, you know, I don't want to say anything bad, but it's like... And then it's okay, and then it goes into a humongous commercial for like 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I was driving to fucking rehearsal the other day, mm-hmm. and I'm listening to their podcast with Rose Byrne. They have like different guests.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly it's like a 3-minute commercial, and that just turned me off like right away. You know, it's like, and they're reading it, and you could tell like they're just making money.
Oh,
and,
really?
I mean, our product is pure like the driven snow, but now we have. You know, we broke the rules for degenerate escort service.
Right, so we...
I'm going to call them up and pretend like I want their services. I wonder... I'll say I don't want sex.
Right. I mean, technically, escort services... I was actually doing some research. They don't do sex. Like, that's like a key distinction between an escort and a prostitute.
Yeah, but don't they really do a little bit of sex?
I mean, I don't know. I've never experienced it
myself. I bet, like, 60%, 70%. Of the clients that use escort services expect some kind of sexual thing. Some kind of sexual thing. Maybe not the full experience.
Right.
But, you know.
And it's totally possible. It's
yeah, possible. If I paid money for a full night of being escorted,
mm-hmm.
I would expect some hand-holding, you know, some...
Hand-holding's not sex.
In my case, it would be. It's been a long time.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but that's, we're not talking about my pathetic life right now. But anyway.
How is your pathetic life going, by the way? I mean, like, it's been a while since we've hit the airwaves.
You want an update?
Want an update, yeah.
Well, right now, just for all of you people who think acting is glamorous, it's fucking not, okay?
Yeah, it's really not. It's kind of... It's really not.
No, it's really not. So I joined a play, and we open in 2 weeks. I'm not supposed to be doing this right now with you at all. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be memorizing lines. So now I'm in trouble. I cannot memorize the words of this play into my brain. I can't. I've tried.
Right.
I've tried. I was up. I got up at 4 a.m. today, and I was like, from 4 a.m. till 7 a.m. I'm going to memorize, and I did. I got maybe like a paragraph and a half,
mm-hmm.
and then it leaves me. So that, you know, tomorrow I'm taking off work tomorrow. I'm not going to work tomorrow. Mm. So I'm losing money. I can't emphasize. I'm losing money.
Right.
On a play that I'm not getting paid for. Why the fuck am I doing this?
Well, I mean, this is the part where I would say there's a benefit to this.
Yeah.
There's something you can learn from this.
But
the real question is,
yeah.
Are you going to learn anything from this? And the quick answer to that is no.
Well, no. Well, listen. Well, do we repeat our own patterns? Sure.
Right.
Sure. But you can learn. I believe that you can learn. The only reason I took this play is because I like the director. And I do think it's a good... It's actually a good play. It's you know, 12 Angry... You know, it's a famous play. It's a juror thing. It's going to be good. It's just like for some reason, I'm, you know, I have very few summers left. I'm very old right now. I'm getting older every second.
Right.
So my memory is not what it used to be, you know. So right. I'm spending an enormous amount of time on like 3 words, you know, literally 3 words, you know. That's very annoying. And then, you know, the whole thing, you know, the thing about this play is that it's 12 people on stage. Like, usually you do a play, you do it 3, 4, 5 people. Now we have fucking 12 people. And you know how I hate people. You know, I don't like a lot of people. So when I go there, I'm bombarded by the energy. And some of them I like better than others. Some of them I, dare I say, I don't like at all.
Right.
And, you know, I you know, I don't, I, I, you know.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
You don't even have to say it because, you know, I've been there.
Yeah, you know the pain.
I mean, I know the pain and...
And, you know, and I'll tell you something. As a positive, there are moments when you're on stage that where everything is working and you feel like you're doing something. I mean, I might feel that way. Also, the problem with this play, too, is you know, it's 12 people talking. That's why it's so hard to memorize because,
right.
you know, usually you have the other person's lines, but now there's like... multiple lines and they're very fast, so it's very hard to memorize because the cues are also very repetitive. Someone says yes, they say no, I say maybe, you know, it's just like, so that it's just, and memorizing is like getting a tetanus shot in your fucking balls. like over and over and over again.
Right.
You know, so, but I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to complain. I mean, the purpose of this podcast is not to complain. I'm just saying it's not, I'm losing.
It's been, pretty much been our MO since the beginning.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't mind complaining if it's sort of comedic. Oh, by the way, it's a Jewish holiday today. To all of our Jewish listeners.
We do have a listener base in Israel.
That might have been me. No, I would.
You haven't been over there since.
I haven't been over there, but I think, I wonder why. I think that could have been.
Maybe someone you know over there.
Yeah, oh, you're right, you're right. I think I turned a friend of mine on, and he heard us, and he's like, no, I don't want to listen to this ever
pretty
again.
Much, yeah. At least we got that. We got that Israel.
That's right.
We've actually expanded our reach within the last few weeks. We've expanded to Greece.
Greece.
We expanded to, I think El Salvador were in prior to our last episode.
Yeah, which I'm very proud of.
Very proud of. And then we expanded to
Belgium.
And then the United Arab Emirates.
What is that a country?
So I think that's where OPEC is, that like controls oil.
Oh, oil.
They control all that stuff.
I like oil.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's very exciting, very exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing. We're sitting here in my little one-bedroom apartment, and we're reaching, you know, global airwaves.
That'd be kind of interesting if we went to every single country where we have some listeners.
Yeah.
And just, like, did, like,
and nobody shows up.
And we just did, like, a live. We set up this big, a live recording of As Is.
Yeah, it'd just be me and you, and it's going to be, like, raining. It's going to be, like, nobody. British Mark would be like, hey, how did that taping go in Belgium? Great, British Mark, great. It was like the Beatles. It was, like, mass audience, you know?
It was actually kind of funny. I remember I saw like, a stupid thing on stupid Facebook. It was like a picture of, like a very minimally, like, occupied, like, dance hall. And
okay.
It's like, you have to experience this before you can experience this, and it's a picture of, like, a big, huge crowd at a concert.
Right, right, right. Like, so you're saying baby steps.
You gotta pay your dues, and it makes sense, because that's what happens when you're starting out and you're unknown.
You're just
one in a million.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think, listen, oh, by the way, this leads me to this big thing, which we got a compliment from a full-fledged comedian.
Oh, shit.
A full... You know about this. Don't pretend you...
I'm pretending
for the audience. I know. Don't get mad. No, okay.
I think you get more mad than I do.
I get mad. I get frustrated.
Right.
I get frustrated. But this... Okay, so there's... Okay. So...
They fuck you the track.
If anybody listens, I'm British Mark is the only one. But, like, a few months ago, I befriended this comedian... Stacy, we could say her name, Stacy, Stacy, and, she, you know, I think I kind of hinted that I have a podcast, you know, she actually calls me on the phone, which, like odd hours, like, you know, she's like a comedian hours, like 11 p.m., she'll be like, hey, I'm like, you know, it's like I'm trying to wind down, she really likes our podcast, man. I mean, she was excited about it. She wants to be on our show.
That's fucking A, man.
I actually said, we're doing one tonight, and she goes, she said she's going away. And then she said, you have to memorize. I'm like,
I mean, to be fair, yeah. I think it was also a little short notice tonight anyway, so.
Right. But I told her about it this morning, and she should have dropped everything. And
right.
And then, she also likes movies a lot. She wants to talk about movies with us. I'm like.
No shit. We would get along just fine.
We would. You would. The problem is that she likes movies that you probably don't like.
Like what?
Well, all right. So she's really into Woody Allen movies.
Yeah.
I know. But you haven't seen a lot of them. So, I mean.
Actually, I've only seen one.
Okay. So here's the thing. As an experiment, we could. All agree to watch one Woody Allen movie and then do some commentary about it.
Actually, I did watch...
To break her into the show.
I did watch Midnight in Paris.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
But she really likes this one that she mentioned yesterday. I'm very hot and cold on his movies. I think some of them are good and some of them are terrible. Mm. But anyway, she wants... And I also said, look, you know, your life is interesting. You're a comedian. You're on the road. She actually has a lot of funny stories because, I mean, her life is not glamorous at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she is... Sometimes her car breaks down at the worst... You know, she's... She's got problems, but they're funny problems, you know?
Well, to us, maybe.
Well, she, yeah, I mean, but she would be an interesting, she could be like an Elaine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she could be like a Seinfeld Elaine. She could, I mean, I told her.
It'd be good to have an Elaine, you know?
And she actually likes the banter between us. She thinks that we're like, really, like, that we have a thing. Like, we have, I mean, she knows that we're not gay, you know?
Right, well, it's not that there's anything wrong with that.
But, I mean, she really thinks that we have, like, a special chemistry, man.
Okay, man. Gotta have her on.
Yeah, we're going to have her on. We're totally going to have her on.
And I got to think, kind of funny, too, is that if we have her on and she kind of, like, breaks up this dynamic, and then it just, like, it creates, like, this huge, like, rift in the show.
That's not possible.
And becomes, like, she becomes, like, the Yoko Ono.
Oh, that's so funny. I actually talked with her last night about Yoko Ono.
Oh, yeah?
She really hates Yoko Ono. She said that she totally broke the Beatles. And I was like, look, she did. She was, like, the gasoline. She didn't, I mean, the Beatles would have broken up. Regardless. But Stacey's often wrong, you know.
Right.
But she would be a really, I mean, that would be, I mean, the thing is, British Mark likes the show, but I don't take his opinion that, like, it's flattering, but it's, you know, he's British Mark.
Right.
That he washes dishes in the country of England. He doesn't have much of a life. I don't know he thinks Journey is the best band in the world. I don't think he's the right, he's exactly, like, his opinion, 35% I take as, you know, it's British Mark. She could do an hour on stage in front of a sold-out crowd.
Mm-hmm.
British Mark can't do that.
Right.
So I take Stacey's opinion over British Mark's opinion.
And I think, I remember when you told me that she was interested in wanting to be on the show. I think I said something along the lines of, like, hey, you got to tell Jay Silverberg.
Well, I talked with her about that, too.
Yeah.
And she goes, you have to have Jay on the show. And I said, I brought it up to Jay.
Yeah.
Jay Silverberg, who is a comedian who's, you know, our local comedian. He's like the only local comedian here. Jewish, neurotic, lovable, but, you know, bombs sometimes. He told me.
So pretty much go fuck yourself in terms of this podcast.
No, well, I mean, sure.
I was pretty much there.
Well,
he said it in his own way.
Well, his words to me, like, later, because he's a big texter. You don't know the behind the scenes of Jay Silverberg.
I have a feeling, because you show me some of those texts.
Yeah, he's verbose. He lives in an old age community. He has nothing to do all day but text, right? He's worse than British Mark. So Jersey J. But Jay Silverberg is perfect.
Jay Silverberg's better, yeah.
But we should have called the escort service Jay Silverberg. So in his words, he said he will be on when he has something to promote. And I'm like, Jay, you're never going to have anything to promote.
I saw a Facebook post. I guess they had well, actually, no, you told me they did a,
yeah,
he was supposed to be up Friday, this past Friday.
Yeah, he did. He did. I was going to go, but I didn't go because I had to memorize. I did memorize actually on Friday.
Oh,
dude, in the last 3 days, it's been raining biblically in New Jersey. Yeah. And I actually did sit here and memorize. I just said, it doesn't mean that it worked.
Right.
But I tried. Dude, I'm like on page 2. I'm like at fucking page 2. I can't tell one act from the other. You know how, like, in a play, there's 3 different acts?
Yeah.
In this play, you can't tell because it's all in the same room. It's all about, you know, jury talk.
Yeah.
So I can't tell. One page is the same exact page as another.
You're fucked.
One. I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I'm so fucked. I'm fucked. We open, like, tomorrow. Like, we open, like, very soon.
Next week, right? Next Friday?
Yeah. And I have to see Dire Straits on Wednesday night. I'm going to see a Dire Straits with Lifeless Dave.
Oh, this Wednesday.
Yeah,
oh,
this is nice. The big test if my brother can behave himself and not ask me stupid questions while we're watching a band. You know,
just tape his mouth shut.
that would, like, Clockwork Orange. That was his eyes.
That was his eyes.
Yeah. I will. I will bring Scotch tape.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually. I think he's nervous about it because he was a little upset about the way I reacted to his stupid reactions at the Bruce Springsteen concert. But anyway,
just tell him that it's the whole purpose of a concert is to live in the moment.
I know. I mean, it's really unbelievable. I mean, the guy's lived a long time. He's older than I am.
Yeah.
When you watch a TV show, you don't say, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? The whole Bruce show, he's like, when is he going to do the river? When is he going to do the river? Like, he's not going to do the river. He's not going to do the river. He hasn't done it in the last 4 months. He's not going to do it tonight.
Did he end up doing it?
No. No, but I mean, he just was like, I had to leave. I stood elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, very, very, yeah. So, and that, I have to go to New York for that. I have seen some really good shows. I saw Dexter.
Oh, yeah, Michael C. Hall.
Let's talk about that for a second,
sure.
Can we? All right. So, Michael C. Hall, the guy that played Dexter, Here's the thing.
Dexter was a show on Showtime that ran originally from 2006 to 2013.
This is when Ryan becomes Rain Man.
Just to give some context in case there's some people out there who are not
familiar. I know. I don't think British America's ever seen Dexter.
Right.
Yeah, I would say...
He's probably seen, like, Doctor Who.
Oh, my God. Who gives a fuck about Doctor Who?
A lot of people. That's why it's been around for over 6 years.
Do you know who sees Doctor Who? I've been to mental hospitals before. All the patients in the mental hospital love Doctor Who. That's why I didn't fit into the mental hospital. Like, I've never met... Like, it's a thing. Like, a lot of people with mental problems watch Doctor Who.
A lot of people enjoy it. I haven't tried it, so that's why I've been meaning to try it.
There's, like, a million seasons. Like, you don't... I mean, what's the point? You gotta spend your whole life watching the stupid show.
That's fine. I'm gonna die no matter what.
You are gonna die no matter what, yeah. But
well, speaking of which, I finally saw the other night...
Yeah.
The original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve.
1978.
1978, directed by Richard Donner.
Right. What else did he direct?
He also directed... He also directed the 4 Lethal Weapons.
Oh,
And he also directed The Goonies.
Right.
And he actually directed 75% of Superman 2.
Right.
Which was actually originally filmed at... It was set to be filmed at the same time as the original. They were set to be filmed at the same time.
Right.
But then... Donner got... They stopped filming Superman 2 and decided to focus on 1. They fired Donner, brought in Richard Lester to finish. So he pretty much started from scratch.
Right.
So that's why there are 2 cuts of the movie.
So in my memory, Superman 2 is very good, but I don't know which version I've seen.
Chances are you probably saw the theatrical cut.
Right. Because I saw it in the movie theater.
That stands to reason.
So you're saying there's another version?
There's another version that was released in 2006. I haven't seen either yet, obviously.
Right.
But... That one is Richard Donner supervised it. That's according to his original vision.
Right. Superman 1, in my memory, is very good.
Superman 1 was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's very weird. I mean, I'm sure the special effects were dated, but whatever. I mean, it's
great story, great performances.
Well, Christopher Reeve was great, right?
Hell yeah, he was.
Also, you know, the Lois Lane.
Lois
Lane.
I thought you said. It sounded like you said
Dolores Lane. Did I say Clitoris Lane?
I don't know.
Loris Lane.
Lois.
Lois. I have trouble saying that. Lois.
Right.
Lois Lane. Okay. All I'm trying to say is... So the woman that played her, I think her name is...
Margot Kidder.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. So in real life, she went nuts.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, I think she ended up like... I think she's either dead... don't quote me. She's either dead or in a mental hospital or... Like there was all these crazy stories about her like years later, like 15 years after the Supermans. I think she wasn't successful anymore. And she just got nuts and she went to other people's houses and she slept on their cat. You know, she like a lot of weird stories about her. But she was good as Lois Lane.
Lois Lane, right?
Lois Lane. No, when I finally can say a word, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
Lois Lane.
I still think out of my time of consuming Superman media, my favorite Lois Lane so far probably is Erica Durance, who played her in Smallville.
Oh, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, I never saw the TV show.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it was definitely of its era, very episodic, but it was very good.
Right.
It actually had, I think, the best depiction of Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah?
In all of Superman, yeah.
But Gene Hackman was good.
Oh, he was really good, yeah.
Yeah. Gene Hackman's an interesting actor. Like, he always was... Gene Hackman is interesting. This actually leads to Michael C. Hall. Back to Michael C. Hall.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were talking about him.
Yeah, I know. We do a lot of tangents on this show. This is why Degenerate Escort Service loves us.
Oh, yeah.
So, Gene Hackman is maybe one of the few actors I can think of who's not classically handsome by any means. If I was a woman, I would not want to sleep with him. But he's a great actor. I'm just saying. And, you know, he's a great actor and he got, like, very good parts, right?
Right.
But he's not classically handsome.
Actually, a lot like the great actors really aren't.
Well, I would say him, Robert Duvall. Robert De Niro isn't even that attractive, really. I mean,
Jack Nicholson
had that. I would say he's actually, if I was a woman, I'd probably sleep in The Shining. Not now. Now he's like 95, you know. But I like in The Shining because he had that menacing.
Right.
Like he'd probably, if I was a woman and I saw Jack Nicholson in The Shining, I think he must be great in bed, you know, because he's so devilish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see Gene Hackman, he's not going to be good in bed. Gene Hackman is going to just, like, give you, like, 2 minutes of a boom boom and then turn over, you know? I've never said boom boom in my life. I don't know what the fuck that... But you know what I mean? Like, Gene Hackman doesn't exude sexuality where Jack Nicholson does. I could say that as a non-gay man.
Okay.
Let me just... Yeah. But if... I mean, I'm just saying, I think women... And Jack Nicholson is notorious for bedding a lot of women in real life.
Right.
Like Warren Beatty. You know, he's also... Well, yeah, I guess people would think he was attractive. But Gene Hackman... Gene Hackman definitely not attractive, right? I mean, I think men, women, and cats would agree that Gene Hackman is not fuck-worthy, you know?
I mean, I've seen a lot of dudes just in the real world with, like, women.
Why? Well, it's just... I know. Money, something. Well,
no, something. I'm not even money. They're, like, fucking, like, slobs. It's like...
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I know.
Sometimes, a lot of times it pisses me off, but you know what?
I know. Let bygones be bygones.
It is what it is, I guess.
But this leads me back to Michael C. Hall.
Yeah, let's get the fuck back there. I don't know what
Well, I don't know. You went to Superman.
What was the whole Gene Hackman thing?
Well, no. Well, because... Okay. Totally makes sense in my mind.
Okay.
Okay? Gene Hackman, not attractive and yet charismatic and gets good roles, right?
Right.
Michael C. Hall, I go see him with a mutual friend of ours, right? Who's really massively in love with Michael C. Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So... That's always tricky to go with someone who is very, very into someone because you know they're going to go into a trance, you know, and they're going to like, you know, like it would be like me seeing Don Johnson across a crowded room, you know, and that, you know, I would probably shit myself, you know, but, so, okay. So, and we have to go to Brooklyn.
Oh, fuck that.
I know. Brooklyn, again, by the way, we go to a restaurant in Brooklyn. We decide to take the train because we know driving to Brooklyn is horrible.
Yeah.
So everything's cool. Remember when we went to Brooklyn and we took the train and that seemed forever, the subway?
Oh, yeah.
This subway was only like 20 minutes. It was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But then we end up in a, you know, a place that looks like it should be bombed, right? And then we go into a restaurant there. We finally find like a restaurant and the woman in the restaurant says, oh, this is the nice part of Brooklyn.
Understood.
This is North Brooklyn. This is Bushwick area. This is really the cool area. And then we're like, okay. And then the restaurant was okay. We sat outside, had some beers outside. But then you go into the street, graffiti everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like an atomic bomb. And that's the nice part of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And then we go, and then, you know, Michael C. Hall, a.k.a. Dexter.
Right.
By the way, the people who have not seen Dexter, the first 4 seasons of the original TV show Dexter.
Excellent.
The best TV I've ever seen, I think. So, very worth seeing. And Michael C. Hall has a band, right? And
what are they called?
Well, Michael C. Hall is into weird shit, okay? He likes to take weird parts, like Dexter was a weird part. He's done Broadway, weird shit on Broadway. He likes, you know, weird shit. Mm-hmm. He's a very interesting guy probably to talk to. But anyway, so his band used to be called Princess Goes to the Butterfly Museum. Now he shortened it to Princess Goes. Okay. So I've heard his stuff. It's very, he's talented. He has a good voice, but it's very trippy music. It's very, it's alternative. If it's music that you could stalk someone with, you know, it's very creepy. I mean, it's cool, but it's not something you would listen to for fun, right?
Right.
So I'm not expecting really to be even enjoying this concert. The funny thing about the concert is that we're standing in line with all these other weirdos in Brooklyn to get onto this fucking rooftop, and I'm talking to our friend. I don't know if we should name her, but our friend, for some reason, she doesn't like any movies from the 70s. She doesn't know any movies about... She's an 80s chick, right? And I'm like, are you kidding me? 70s has great movies. And for some reason, I mentioned them were... you probably never saw this, The Warriors.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
All right. Warriors is a very weird movie, 1978. And it's amazing for its choreography of fight scenes. It's about gangs in New York. The script is terrible, but it's very fun to watch because it's got a certain thing about it. It's a cult movie. But it's very famous for a 70s movie. So for some reason, I talk about that with her. I don't know why. It just came out of my mouth. And we're standing in line, and there's a guy behind me. He goes, Warriors, I love that movie. Some random guy who I'm going to do a podcast with next week.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's this guy. He loves you know, we start talking to him. He knows everything about the Warriors. We talked to this guy for like an hour. And he's a nice guy, you know. Anyway, so I befriend people wherever I go, you know. But it was really fun.
I don't know how you do it, man. I really don't.
I don't know. I just, you know, I'm a man of the people. I'm a, I don't know. But I do seem to attract, like, you know, I don't know. There's something and he's a cool guy. He plays in a band himself, this guy, and, you know. So, anyway, Michael C. Hall. Back to Michael C. Hall. Yeah. Please don't distract me. So, here's the thing about, he's not a Gene Hackman. So, I'm not gay, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that. But I can notice a very good-looking guy, right? Yeah. For example, you're a good-looking guy.
Thanks, man.
All right. So, Michael C. Hall, in person, is incredibly beautiful to look at.
Okay.
He's like symmetrically, like, he stands here, or like I was very close to him on stage. So even if he stands like this, or if he stands like every angle you look at him, he's really, you can't take your eyes off him because he's just classically handsome. You know? So it just got me thinking. It got me thinking that some people, and this pisses me off, some people are just born with this certain charisma or look. I mean, and he's talented. He can sing. He's a great actor. His band is, you know, it's like an acquired taste, his band. I enjoyed watching him. The music is, it's okay. It'd be better if you were on acid and you listened to his music, you know. Mm. But the fact that he's so fucking charismatic carries 70% of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me think that some people have that shit, that X factor.
This is actually kind of It's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah,
you're saying that because I kind of wanted to go off on something about something to that effect. It kind of sucks because like we often see people like that. Well, for one, I feel like he's probably like. Even now, I'm sure he's a physically fit individual. I've seen pictures.
He's very fit, very thin, very fit.
So I figured a lot of that comes from like lifestyle.
Yeah.
So if he's got a lifestyle, you figure it's kind of like life is like a snowball.
Yeah.
It's like a snowball for those people listening who are lost in life and think they can learn from someone like me. Well, for one, I would say get rid of that thought. But two, if you are still feeling that way, I would say life is a snowball.
Like a domino effect?
It really is like a domino effect.
So how does that relate to Michael C. Hall?
So Michael C. Hall, he's had success.
Right.
What does success do to a person?
It makes them feel good. Right.
It makes them feel good. And it just, now they may have some bad days here and there, but it's like accumulates, you know?
Yeah, but let me differ a little bit. There's a lot of people that are famous that don't feel good and end up killing themselves. So I don't think that fame necessarily equals feeling good. But I will say that fame equals money.
Actually, I wouldn't say it's fame. I would say experiences.
Yeah.
And success.
We don't know what Michael C. Hall. He doesn't actually seem like a very happy guy. Like when you see him, like he hardly talked on stage. He seems pretty shy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he could be. It could be one of those things where it's like, you can go up to him and be like, "Dude,
I talked to him.
You exude everything," and he could be like, "All right, I appreciate that, but I don't."
Yeah. I think it's all case by case scenario. In his case, I do think he's actually a very shy, introverted guy. I talked to him, not this time, but I met him once. But I think our friend told me that he's been in marriage therapy with his wife. I mean, I'm sure life is not exactly like, and how does he follow Dexter, right? Like he's probably hasn't done a lot of roles lately. So who knows what happens in his personal life, but it just makes me think that there's people like that that are just so fucking charismatic. And then there's people maybe like me or you, I don't know, like I'm just using that as an example, that have the charisma, but it's not on that level. Like we can't walk into a room and be like we're pretty, you know, we're not ugly, we're sort of attractive guys.
Right.
But we're not gonna, the heads are not gonna turn when we walk into a room. Michael C. Hall, even without his fame, he's so fucking symmetrically, it's like symmetrically beautiful.
I can almost guarantee you.
Yeah.
If he was just another Joe Schmo in the street, no one would pay attention.
I don't know about that, man.
I
don't know about that. He's really, when you look at him, like, I saw him. I was right next to him the whole show.
Right.
And yeah, sure, he's Dexter to me. But, I mean, it just makes me think that, you know, you could have a really, really talented actor that doesn't have those classically handsome features.
Oh, this is how it's timed.
That won't get the role, but Dexter will get the role. And Dexter's really, I mean, Michael C. Hall is really talented. I don't mean to say that he's not talented. He deserves whatever he got. Dexter was amazing.
Yeah.
So, but you could have two people that one guy is just a little off in the classic handsome actor symmetry, and then they won't, but they're still, but they have the same amount of talent. Mm-hmm. And they might just not get the role, where the guy that's more handsome and more charismatic will get the role. It's just very and when you see it up close like that, like usually I see community theater, nobody's really that charismatic in community theater, you know. I mean all of our friends are like, they're fun, but they're not like incredibly charismatic. But then when you see like somebody like that, like right in front of you, or even the band that I saw in Asbury Park a few days ago, she just being around. Just some people have that X factor, and it's undeniable, man.
Now, okay, so we have to admit. Yeah. Let's break this down a little bit.
Okay.
You saw both these people in the midst of a performance. So right. They're in a zone in that moment.
Yeah, and they're on stage, and they have the lights. Mm-hmm. And for sure, and I'm into what they're doing. They're in a band.
They're into doing what they're doing, right. So they have that energy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, they wouldn't be as charismatic if they were like a plumber walking into your house or something. Right. But still, I mean, I'm just saying that some people are just more charismatic than others, and that's not anybody's fault. It's just the way that it is. Mm. And it's not something that you can cultivate, I don't think. It's not. I mean, you can cultivate your talent, but you can't cultivate that fucking beautiful symmetry. I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off him for like 2 hours. You know,
and actually, I think the physical part you can definitely cultivate. That's why that's why all those actors have the personal trainers to keep them in
well,
that shape.
Sure, but they're already polishing an already beautiful stone.
I mean, some actors, they've gone through like huge transformations.
Well, yeah,
like Chris Hemsworth before he became Thor.
Right,
he was like a regularly sized dude.
Well, size wise, yeah, but he was still probably classically beautiful in his face.
I mean,
again, it's very hard to judge, but I mean, they're not Gene Hackmans. I mean, like Gene Hackman. I mean, like no amount of personal training is gonna make Gene Hackman into a Michael C. Hall. He's gonna be Gene Hackman even with muscles, you know. So I it just made me think, like, it's just not fair. It's like, you know, I mean, I agree with you that you can work on yourself, you can eat well, you can get a personal trainer, you can get more and more chiseled, but you still have that initial, like, fucking beauty that some people don't have. And I almost have it, but I don't.
Well, I think, so it's like a lot of people, I think for a lot of people, seeing just like a confidence in another individual
enhances it.
And so that the person may not be like traditionally or conventionally attractive,
right,
but if they're confident enough, people will see that, and
I translate. I know what you mean, but still there's still people that are just so classically beautiful, and they're going to have the advantage in life, you know. Mm. And that just pisses me off.
Well, the good thing the good thing about all this,
right,
is whenever you get to this point, you know, you're comparing yourself to them, and
right,
you're like, you know, it's just not right. There's one important, very satisfying fact to keep in mind.
What?
This is all temporary. We're all going to die.
Well, yeah, I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we're all going to die. But I bet Michael C. Hall, if there is a heaven, will get the better seat in heaven.
Nah, there's no discrimination in the afterlife.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think if there is a God, he'll be like, hey, I want to be next to Dexter, you know? Danny Siegel, he can wait in the hallway, you know? Like, he could be in the back. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen heaven. I don't know.
Right.
You know, but it just is very, I mean, some people just have that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just, it kind of sucks, you know?
Oh, believe me. It's like my driving job on the weekends.
Right,
on
right,
Sundays.
Right, right.
Something happens when you're out there. I'm sure you've experienced it as a driver, but at the same time, you're also around people, so it's not quite the same.
Right.
There's something that happens to me when I'm out there, and I'm comfortable enough to admit it. Especially when I'm delivering to more affluent neighborhoods. When I say affluent, I'm talking like Morris County. I'm talking million-dollar mansions that no one should have any reasonable, reason to have.
Right. Right.
Now, I don't know any of the people that live in these houses.
Right.
I don't know what they look like. All I know is I drive around these neighborhoods, and the house, the area is nice. Like, I would like to live there, but that's the thing. And I tell, and I find myself in a mental state that is so heightened, and I think it's actually, I think it's a, and I've done some thinking about this. I think it, I can attribute it to, it's our fight or flight defense. It's a survival instinct that sort of recognizes the fact that I'm alone out there.
Right.
In the world.
Right.
And there's something about that that I guess sort of puts me in sort of like a heightened sense of alert, but it also makes me really angry.
Right.
To the point of like enraged.
Right.
At seeing this stuff. And it gives me really.
Right.
Temporarily not great thoughts.
Right.
And it's just like it's.
Well, but if you don't get that here in my one bedroom apartment.
Oh, no, this is fine.
Yeah. I mean, like, nobody's going
to. No, like, usually once I. It's interesting. Like, once I deliver my final stop.
Right.
And I start heading back.
Right.
It starts to go away.
Right. Right.
And
right.
It's just.
Right.
And you know what I think it is? And also, it's one of those things where, like, I can't stand when I'm going to deliver a package and someone comes to the door to take it. A lot of times I won't even look at them. I'll hardly acknowledge them. I don't want, as far as I'm concerned, they don't exist. Right. I don't want anything to do with them.
Oh, yeah. I get that.
And I just.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I'm the same way with my people.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not very nice to them at all. Yeah. I'm at the point now that they don't even expect conversation now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one lady today. I fucking drove today in the fucking rain. And I had this,
that was me yesterday.
That was you yesterday, yeah. But I would almost rather drive alone because, like, I have to deal with these people and I know that they have expectations that I'm going to engage in conversations with them, which I can do if I'm in the right mood, but I'm usually not in the right mood. I hate to fucking work, you know? Working life sucks. So then this lady comes in today. She goes, ah. First of all, they just moan for no reason. It's like that's already like that's disrespectful. Like I don't go into somebody's house and just start moaning.
Yeah.
Like they get into the car, you know, they're already moaning. And she's like, oh, it's so nice in the car. I mean, they haven't turned on the heat yet in my house, in my apartment, you know. And I'm like, I can't. Like, I could be nice and be like, oh, you know, well, they'll turn up the heat soon. I just don't want to engage. We have 25 minutes of driving. If I start to talk now, it's going to be 20. And I have to conserve it. My voice is already leaving me. I have to shout a lot in this fucking play. I sound like a little bit like Bob Dylan, put his finger in an electric socket, you know? So I'm not going to be like, oh. And then if I say something, I know she's going to go, what? And then I'm going to have to make my voice even. So it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh! I just say one syllable word and then they kind of don't know what to make of me, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like 25 minutes of silence. I don't even turn on the radio. I want them to be as uncomfortable as possible. And I succeed most of the time.
That's good, man. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and I'm not proud. I mean, when I first started this job, I actually wanted to make the world a better place and to make, you know, people's lives happier and tell them jokes. But now I just can't do that anymore.
Yeah. You know, there's...
You have to conserve yourself.
You have to conserve yourself, and it's not even worth it.
It's not.
It's not even worth it.
It's not. It's not, right?
People never appreciate anything.
No, I know. I mean, for this, I try to be somewhat charming, you know, for because, you know, our conversation does go into the airwaves, you know.
Right.
But you know, so I guess Michael C. Hall, Gene Hackman, you have... I don't know if we put a, we landed. Did we land this?
All I know is we started this part of the show probably about 20 minutes ago.
Right.
And right. I think we got to the crux of
but
it.
But do you understand what I'm saying, though? That some people were given that.
Yeah, some people are going to be successful just based on their looks. That's I'm pretty sure I.
Okay.
I think I said that part.
Okay, but you don't. But here's why it hurts me. Okay. I feel like I was given a certain amount of talent and I was given a certain amount of looks. When I was a kid, I was, you know, I was cute and women were chasing after me in kindergarten. This is really true. But now.
So you were in kindergarten.
I peaked in kindergarten.
And these were adult women.
No. These were fellow kindergarten women.
Oh, okay.
That I remember one morning, a sunny day in Israel, they were chasing after me on the soccer field.
Actually, I had similar experiences around that age. That's when girls liked me.
We peaked in kindergarten.
We peaked in kindergarten.
Okay. It's all been downhill since kindergarten. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I just kind of feel like, you know, the fucking people that were given that, you know, that are peaking now, or they peaked during, like, Dexter peaked in his 30s and when he was on Dexter. Like, why couldn't I have peaked there? Why did I have to peak in? Why can't I peak now? Why did I have to peak in?
And this actually kind of ties into what I was thinking about talking about, but
yeah,
and, you know, I mean, sometimes I often go on a tangent. And it ends up being like super depressing, but like, I'll say this: it's like one thing I've been thinking lately is, you know, I'm in my late 30s,
right?
I know to you I may seem young, but you know it's like
right.
I've never been this old before.
Right? No, you haven't,
and it's
right.
You know, it's.
I'm one foot in the grave, motherfucker.
Right. But I'm saying, like, now it's like, I think to myself, yeah, and I think I think we have similar circumstances in that, like,
right,
certain aspects of our childhoods right. kind of fucked us up in a way. See, I feel like a lot of people who are successful.
Right.
And I don't. I'm sure there are some exceptions to the rules. I'm right. sure there are people
of course.
Who overcome horrible shit.
Right.
And are able right. to turn it around. But
right.
I still believe that people who have found great success.
Right.
It starts when they're young.
Yeah.
They have some sort of great foundational.
Right.
They have great sound foundation right. set in their childhood.
Yeah. And it's It goes both ways. Some people overcome horrible parents and some people have great parents. But I hear you. Like, some people have the advantage.
Mm.
For sure. We never had the advantage, you know. But I just, like, you know, I just feel like I just feel like I'm close. I'm close talent-wise. I get good roles and I get, but it's still missing. It's missing that next level thing. Like, I'm never going to get to the next level. I'm always going to be at this level.
Right.
That's a horrible reality to live in, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, but you have to kind of accept. It's like, some days I accept it fine. I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to let success define me. I'm just going to, like, be what I am. But it's just like, I don't even know if I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm not enjoying memorizing lines. I'm not really, I mean, we're all gonna fucking die.
Yeah, a lot of times, this is a regular, semi-regular thing I like to do at night before I go to bed.
Okay.
I am.
Pray?
No.
Jerk off?
I often envision a scenario where I'm presenting with a gun, with one bullet.
Oh no. Yes.
And I question whether or not I actually would just,
right,
you know, just call it a day, because it's right. like all it takes is just one.
Right. You'd probably miss, and it would probably hit the.
That would be my luck.
Yeah. You'd probably miss. It would be like a weird. It wouldn't be Russian roulette. It'd be like Ukraine roulette. You know.
Yeah. It's like, how did you even? How did you even fail at this?
Yeah. Exactly. But I thought we decided we were going to the Gothel's Bridge and doing it that way.
Well, this is just a scenario.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a nice thought there. But
yeah.
But I mean, if Gene Hackman hasn't done it, you know, and I hate to.
Well, I mean, he's an A-list actor.
But not anymore.
Well, he was.
Yeah, he was. I hate to pick on him, but he really is an example of someone who kind of his looks.
Well, also that was a different time. That was when you actually could. Get by on that was actually a better time when it actually required talent
right.
to you don't actually do well.
Right. But see, I'm wondering who is today's Gene Hackman? Who is an actor now that's not really classically handsome and is really ubiquitous? You know? Like, it's very hard to think, right? Like, there's not that many.
That's the thing, because, like, so many actors nowadays, even the ones who aren't, like, a Ryan Reynolds or
a... Right. Right. Any. Let's take Iron Man.
Downey Jr.?
Like, he's not... he's older now, but even in his prime, he wasn't, like, classically handsome.
Right.
But he definitely had
that. But at the same time, okay, so I think he... We can't really include him, because he also came up... In a different time, like the 80s.
Well, yeah, okay. So somebody, see, well, now, so I don't
even talking about know. Someone, with, okay, so let's say someone within the last, like, 20 years.
Well, 20 years.
I wouldn't say he's unattractive, but he's not conventionally.
Right.
He's got a certain look, Cumberbatch. He's got a look to him.
Yeah.
But he's also got the talent as well.
Right. Well, yeah, I would say that he is sort of in the handsome category. I mean, but he's not, like... incredible. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. He could go in either category. Yeah. You chose a tough one.
I did.
Yeah.
Maybe,
like, I don't know. I can't even think of an actor in the last 20 years that sort of, because now there's hardly anybody besides Tom Cruise.
Well, Cillian Murphy played Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Does he do a lot of stuff?
He's done quite a bunch of stuff. He was in Peaky Blinders.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. You're going to have the exceptions. But again, now it's so scattered, you know. It's like this very hard.
Well, that's the thing also. It's the whole system now. It's not reliant on star power.
Right.
So it's...
Right. It's the Wild West out there, yeah.
Which actually would be a good time for us to...
It would.
Give it a shot.
It would. Like, if this podcast takes off, you know, like, if we start branching into, like, you know, Morocco and Monaco, other Middle Eastern countries, Syria.
Hell, even if we became, like, B-level straight to, like, DVD stars.
Yeah.
We even had, like, and it's always... Well, that's different. They created their own show, but
right, it's always right. Sunny,
but...
No, I don't know, but I mean, this is a good outlet. This is, I mean, what we have now, I can live with, you know. It's certainly a nice distraction, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't even gotten to half the topics that we were supposed to cover. And now we have just like 8 minutes left, you know.
Well, you had to talk about Michael C. Hall and Gene Hackman for half
an hour. Well, I'm sorry, don't you think that was a good topic? Do you think it was a bad topic?
I think it's interesting the way it went.
Well, I just got to tell you that when you're in the presence of someone that...
I no longer look at people like that.
You know what I found fascinating? His music wasn't that captive. I've heard... At the time of the show, it seemed really compelling because he's an interesting performer. Even though he didn't really try very hard. But just the fact that he is who he is, he had that sort of David Bowie sort of weird quality to him that was magnetic and interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went home and then I listened to his record the next day. I was like, all right, I'm probably not going to listen to this very much, you know?
Yeah.
But at the time, so that kind of, it was almost like I was hypnotized. He hypnotized me.
Right.
You know, it's weird. I don't know. I mean, I just wish I had that. It might not be an important topic.
Here's the thing, though. At the same time, you don't get to dictate whether or not you have it. There are people there.
Right.
There are people who may see you on stage.
Right. Some people
have
do.
That reaction.
Yeah, but they're idiots. No.
At the same time, that's what he could be thinking about you.
Well, right, and I am an idiot.
Well.
But I hear what you're saying. It's all relative. Like, I could be, someone could look at me the same way that I look at him. Yeah, that's true. Like, British Mark thinks that we're geniuses, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, so one thing I was thinking about, I think also yesterday, during my madness, my temporary on-the-road madness.
Right, Mad Max, but it's not Mad Max, because you're not Mel Gibson.
Right. No, I'm not Australian.
You're right.
So I think a reason, it's like when I was younger, I wanted to be a successful actor, successful writer, novelist, screenwriter, all that good stuff.
Right.
And I think I've realized that a large part of why I don't pursue any of that anymore.
Right.
Is because I lost my why.
Why?
It's like people say to figure out, to pursue something, you have to figure out your why. I think I lost it.
Right.
I lost a large part of the why.
Right.
I was doing it to begin with. And
yeah. I mean, do you really need a why, though?
I think a why is going to push you when you're heavily seeped in self-doubt.
Right.
It's going to keep you going.
Right. Well, you know what my why is?
What's your why?
My why is, I don't really know why. I know what I don't want. Like, I don't want a normal life. I can't do like a 9-to-5 boring office job, and I need to do something creative. Mm-hmm. Even if I hate it. Like, I hate being in this play right now, but at least it's something creative, and it's I would take that over a boring. Like, I just can't do a normal existence. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't be like my brother. I can't just go to work and go home and I just can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to have some sort of something with imagination or something. Otherwise, nothing else makes sense to me, you know? Like, I have to live in a world of fantasy or imagination. And if it's music or movies or my own thing, I got to have that. Mm-hmm. That's my why.
You know, it kind of sucks we actually got to this point.
Well, it's like a therapy session. It gets good at the end, and the guy says, time's up.
So I'm telling you, because, like, it's so, because we haven't even delved into Danny's relationship.
Oh, no. We could do another episode.
Okay. We'll get to that in the next episode. So a large part of my why, and I can relate to that
right.
completely.
Right.
But I think for me, there was definitely another why that was superseding that.
Even. Right.
And that
so well, what do you think your original why was?
So my original why was doing something that would finally generate respect and admiration from others.
Right.
And
right.
I think the thing is, like, I came to realize even the people we may like based on their work, like actors, musicians,
right.
writers, you know, usually they have their fan bases, but like the periods of time which they're like really in the limelight are really temporary. It's basically like when they have something new coming out
yeah.
and they're in the trade.
It's transitory.
It's transitory. And I think it's also recognizing that even if you're loved one day, you can be reviled the next.
Oh, yeah.
And it could be on the turn of the dime. And right. it has – you have no control over
right.
it. It's like it kind, right. that kind of like
yeah.
took something away from me.
Yeah, right.
And it kind of made me realize
– you can't let that define you because you're going to fail. Because wherever you are, it's whatever fame you have, it's going to go away. Yeah.
Well, and that also made me realize there was something else I want to talk about, a side project.
Well, we're going to do that on the next episode.
We're going to do another episode
because we haven't done anything. I mean, it's my fault.
We talked about fucking Michael C. Hall and Gene Hackman for half an
hour. Okay, wait. I still think that was a good topic. Listen.
This is as is. This is what you get.
But you have to understand. You have to understand that I don't have the X factor, and I'm just pissed off. And if I talk about it, maybe it'll make me feel better, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't have whatever factor. I have, like, an F factor or, like, a D factor. I don't have an X factor, you know?
Right.
So that
We can delve into that into part two of tonight's.
Oh, by the way, thank you for helping me with my other. So, you know, people don't know that, you know, besides, you know, Ryan just doesn't come in here and listen to me talk. He actually does things that are technically advanced that I can't do. So he actually helped me edit something very crucial to my other podcast. So I gotta thank you.
You're quite welcome.
And on this Jewish... Oh, by the way, it's a Jewish holiday today, and I'm supposed to fast, and I didn't fast at all.
I first heard about Yom Kippur in high school, my freshman year in high school.
Congratulations.
Thanks. We actually had the day off from school.
Oh, yeah.
So I was actually like, this is cool. I have a day off.
Right.
And I don't have to celebrate anything. This is a free holiday for me. This is beautiful.
Right. But you actually Googled it today, right?
Like, I Googled it today for about half an hour. Or no, for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. And then, I feel like I betrayed my people because I'm supposed to be fasting all day and atoning for my sins, you know. But then I realized I don't think I really sinned that much last year, you know.
No.
But it's really curious that every Yom Kippur, somehow I end up at McDonald's. And it's really like a thing.
Wait, How's it pronounced?
McDonald's.
Not McDonald's. I don't pronounce it. The holiday.
Oh, Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. So Yom.
Oh, okay. Like two words. Pronouncing the Yah. I was pronouncing it as Yom Kippur.
Yeah, Yom actually is a beach. It's a different word.
Okay.
Yom. It's like Yom. Yom Kippur. Yeah. It's like Yom. We say Yom Kippur. You know, but it's Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
But you could say Kippur. You know. But yeah, it's a very.
Well, it's more. When I first heard it, I thought it was called Yom Kippur.
Well, it's close enough.
Right.
I mean, that's what the Gentiles call it. The non-Jews, you know.
Right.
The Shiksas, the Gentiles.
Right. As far as I know, still, I'm not sure if I'm Jewish or not, so.
Well, if you were Jewish, then you should have fasted all day today.
Probably, but, you know,
You're not Jewish.
No.
I mean, I wish you were, because then we could go to synagogue together.
No,
we could pray together.
Far,
we could, like, you know, we could, like, watch Seinfeld. And
I at least would like to be able to say I'm Jewish. So.
Well, if you want to be Jewish. Like, I would like to say that I'm not Jewish.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we could trade places.
All right, like, we're just about to get this one. So, hey, we'll
I'm Jewish. You can be Jewish.